are swinging into another week of World of Dance Live.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh yeah, Lil Neo tonight. Welcome on into World of Dance here on AfterBuzz TV. I am Kristen Burt. We are so excited because there are so many things to talk about in this final qualifying round. I do want to say that if you're looking for my partner over here, TK, I have like her little photo. I can put it up. But she is doing really good work on the red carpet tonight. She interviewed Tracee Ellis Ross for the Women in Film Award ceremony. So you guys will have to get the scoop from her on that because I saw the photos and I'm excited.
Good stuff.
But TK, my fellow co-hosts are here. Amy!
Hi guys, I'm Amy Cassandra. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV, and I'm so excited to be here.
Woo. Hey friends, what's up? I am Becky. You can find me at Becky Sotero on Instagram, Facebook, and soon Z-Twitter.
Yeah, I told her by the end of this round of World of Dance, you will have a Twitter account.
It's happening. It's happening,
it's official.
You guys.
You said it here, so it's going to happen.
Yeah, right? You just made it happen tonight.
I'm dropping it tonight.
For sure. Well, this is our last week of qualifying rounds. And we'll be moving into the duels, the battles next, which is kind of exciting. Another very fast show. And I hope NBC has been watching what happened in the qualifying rounds. You need more weeks. You need more than 10 weeks. This is like maybe a 14, maybe a 16-week series.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes,
but
we saw them blast through the ins and the outs. We got a couple montages, didn't we, guys?
It's fast. And we'll talk about that when we get to it because I have some thoughts on the people that were in the speed round of. You're in.
Yeah.
Does that help or does that not help? But we kick off the night with probably the biggest crew, the one that sort of like set the stage for TV competition, and that is the Jabberwockies. You guys know. You don't need me to tell you that they won season one of America's Best Dance Crew. But I do love that they were on America's Got Talent. They were on season two, and they didn't even make it past Vegas callbacks.
Yes.
So you never know.
I mean, isn't that full circle? Because now they have their own show in Vegas, so
completely.
A little bit of karma there.
And you go.
You know, this is one thing that I, in hindsight, like once the cast list was announced, I was at the World of Dance Industry Awards, which happened every year in February. Mm-hmm. And the Jabberwockies were there, and I thought, that's interesting. Like, I wonder what they're doing here. And Kaylee Ware, who also competed, like Ian Eastwood, there were a bunch of people that were competing on the show that showed up for the industry awards, and it was right around the time that they were taping, and I should have like opened my eyes a little wider to realize here's some of your cast, but I just didn't realize that the cast was going to be this big, but I did have a chance to talk to the Jabberwockies, and I think kind of the topic I'd love to talk about is like they set this bar for what a crew should look like. Are they still current? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Are they still the trendsetters that they were? I'd love to get your thoughts.
Well, here's the thing. I watched them back on ABDC back then. And so I was trying to figure out, okay, like when did I first see them? And they've come a long way. When they went into the show today, they talked about how their legacy is on the line. And I feel like they have so much at stake that's a little bit terrifying. But when they walked on there, everyone knew who they were. I mean, it's you say Jabberwockies, okay, we all know who they are. Mm-hmm. So I think they're still current, but there's a lot at stake for them. They said also that they're still growing. So for them to be in Vegas and to have a residency there, there's still so much they can do. They're not stopping here.
And let's talk about the fact that they're not even trained. They're not even formally trained dancers, and they bring it every time they hit the stage. And I think with this show specifically, it's not just about dance. It's about performance, and we know they bring performance every time they hit that stage. And it's funny because they were saying that, you know, they have this brotherhood and that they have a target on their backs, and that is so absolutely the case in this competition because 100%. Everyone expects the Jabberwockies to win this.
Everyone. No pressure. Jabberwockies and Lay's Twins, I feel like the two of them are, they're so far ahead in terms of brand recognition and who they are. You know exactly what to expect when you see Jabberwockies. You know you're going to get a mask. You know what the costumes are going to look like. You know what some of the isolations, the movement look like. So it was interesting because when I talked to them in February, they said they've added a couple younger members to help them keep current. Because these guys have been together a very long time. And they sort of based their look off of a crew that started in San Francisco called Media Circus. And they were the ones that actually started with the masks. And they've sort of continued the tradition. So I think it's interesting. And I think that they stepped outside their box a little bit.
They did.
And I am excited to see what happens in the next round.
Well, and everyone backstage, you could tell. I mean, they're so iconic. I feel like even the people that were backstage as competitors, everything stopped. And they just, all eyes were on them. And, you know, when we get to the score, it'll be interesting to see what you guys have to say. Because I felt like the score was not very high. But that's what you get when you're on top. I mean, they're going to have to bring it every single mm-hmm. week, bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So
yeah, you can't just rest on your reputation, right? You've got to go out there and prove yourself.
The standards are here for them, so they have mm-hmm. to go above and beyond. But I feel like they're really good at stepping up to the plate. They've grown as a team, and they're really, really doing a great job on social media.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they got the hustle down.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They performed last night at the NBA Finals, and they already had the video up today, and it was very nicely shot.
Mm, like that. So, well, and here's the other thing. The judges weren't necessarily agreeing, where Derek was like, I want some old school, and then J-Lo was like, I want the groove. And when that groove moment happened,
groove
I was like,
good.
Oh.
The
like,
groove was real good.
It's different.
And
I haven't seen that from
it was
them.
Right in the pocket, mm-hmm. the way you want it. Like, it was mm-hmm. exactly where I was like, that impressed me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you can't rest on your laurels. You can't just do exactly
they
what
had
you
to change said. It up. Yeah. I think it's safer for them to take a little risk than come out with the same old, especially since they have a show, because it's kind of one of those things that everyone's sort of seen those moves. So come right. out with a risk. That's going to be their benefit.
And I think a lot of people that do have reputations or brands mm-hmm. or whatever it is, they have that recognition level, have to do that in this competition. Mm-hmm. I saw Fiction at World of Dance Live on Sunday. I'll be talking a lot about some of the interviews I had, but I said to him, we were all so impressed with what he did on last week's show. And he said, you know, I have a brand. He said this exactly. And he said, people expect certain things from me, but I'm now 22. He's so old. Now 22. But he said, I need to grow as an artist. So I want people to grow with me. And this was a perfect way to showcase it.
Well, yeah. That's and they can beautiful. Break out of the mold. You know, I think when he was on So You Think, you have to, you know, kind of go with the trend of what your brand is. But he's in a place now where he can fly.
And it's great that he's able to do both. You know, they were mm-hmm. both World of Dance and So You Think were able to help him mm-hmm. grow and let him do that.
And he's doing both this year. Yeah. I asked him about that. I said, hey, how did you get them to play nicely in the sandbox? And just as a tribute to Nigel Lithgow, he said he made it happen for him. Mm. You know, there are contracts to deal with. There's two separate networks. Mm-hmm. But everyone played nicely. There was no arguments or disagreements. They just figured out a way that it would work for everyone.
Well, Nigel's always at bat for the dancers. I feel he's just, no matter what, he's there for them to make it happen.
He wants them to work. Mm-hmm. So Nigel. I just want to throw that out, because I always like to pass along nice stories. Stories about people, that's a nice story.
Well, the Jabberwockies were groovy.
Yes.
Very groovy.
Yes. Yeah, and so their score, and this is where we're like, huh? Mm-hmm. 85 from Neo, and then 89 J-Lo, and then 86 from Derek, so it was 86.7 in total. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a little low.
Very low.
Neo has proven to be one of the more difficult judges mm-hmm. out there, and I think that's pretty surprising to most of us. He said that he wanted to be on the show because he knows how difficult it can be for dancers in this industry, you know, to make a career out of it. But then I'm like, why are you being so tough? I mean, which is good. You want to be judged fairly, and this is World of Dance.
I know, and
this
it's
is
the,
a big
and
deal.
It's the Jabberwocky. So again, all eyes are on them right now, and like they were saying, they want to evolve, and I think they're going to evolve. I mean, this is just the beginning of what we're going to see from them.
And what he's giving, I will say this, he's a tough judge, but I don't think he's a mean judge. I'm kind of over the days of like Simon Cowell being snarky. Sure. We see it on Dancing with the Stars sometimes, and sometimes I'm like, just give a great, you know, critical comment that it's positive, where they can take it back to the dance studio, mm-hmm. rehearse on it, work on it, and show
up. And he does.
Up.
It's honest.
Exactly.
And it's not out of left field. Everything's applicable.
Yeah.
I feel like we agree with what he's saying.
Yeah. The shock value mm-hmm. of the judges. I love that mm-hmm. that role does not exist on this panel.
I agree.
I'm like, yay for that. All right, we move on to, and gosh, now I'm going to have to practice this name again.
Okay.
Mahasevich sisters. They were also at World of Dance Live this weekend. And I'm going to tell you, and I've been telling you guys
at City Walk, right?
At City Walk at Universal mm-hmm. Hollywood. It was on Sunday. There's some photos on my Instagram if you guys want to see them. I have everyone that was there. But I'm noticing that people showing up at World of Dance Tour and World of Dance Live events are people that make it through. And I think that people make it fairly far in the competition, because some of the same faces are showing up over and over again. Jenna Lynn and Luca were there.
Sure.
And this is the second time I've seen them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Fiction was the headliner, by the way, you guys. He was the headliner.
Is it strategy?
I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. And things to look at. Keep your eyes open on social media. Ian Eastwood and the Young Lions were there. The Lab was there. Yay. Cute little munchkins were there. The sisters were there. So it's just really interesting just to see people start showing up. And Diana Pombo. Oh, yes. Come on, you guys.
Oh, my God.
I saw her, like, right away as I walked in. And I had brought my husband to work that day because we had a couple of events. And I was like, Diana! She came
wouldn't
over.
We would have all fangirled in that moment.
We're huge fans of hers.
She did not think I was a crazy woman. Thank goodness. She is a bright light, super sweet. And I hope she goes really far. Oh, and Nick Daniels was there. Oh, good.
I do want to give a little shout out. Again, I've been talking a lot about social media, but it's been really easy to find more information about certain people. But Instagram, okay, so Get Surf app streamed that event live. So I was able to catch some of that. Mm-hmm. And the moment, I know we'll get to them later, but Ian and the Young Lions, when they came out, the moment the presenter was saying their names, it's just like, ah! So
same
I'm
with
excited.
Fiction. Rock star.
Huge following.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. So there's, and by the way, there were 3,000 people that showed up.
And lots of viewers.
Yeah, I'm sure people that couldn't attend, of course, who like fly to Hollywood or whatever.
Absolutely.
3,000 people. I walked in, because we walked in a little bit late. It had started like about 10 minutes before. And I walked in just with my Instagram story. I was like, holy cow, you guys, this is something. Dance has arrived.
Yes, it does. It has.
Let's talk about the sisters. They are out of Ohio. Mm-hmm. I love that. I will tell you, the 12-year-old is now the tallest of the three of them.
Whoa.
Because this obviously was taped earlier this year. And I was like, and she goes, everyone thinks I'm the oldest and I'm the youngest.
She looks like she's 35.
She's so mature.
Yep. They were great. And I have to say, this is why I like them. Contemporary has become a lot of tricks, mm-hmm. But they're very grounded in their technique. It's strong. It's not about the tricks. They have some tricks in there, but you're focusing in on what they're able to do. And I think also with them being sisters, there's a nice uniformity in their body type.
So much. I couldn't agree more. Their fluidity and connection was so incredible. I mean, I know that they're family, but that was a different kind of connection. Yeah. I mean, they knew where each person was at all times, and we could see that. You know, it's funny, you were going to talk about the stage and how the dynamic of it changes things. And I was thinking about that with the routine because they were doing so many blind movements and so, you know, flying across the stage, and I was just thinking about what that would be like for spotting and for all of that. So we should talk about that.
Yeah, well, we can talk about it kind of like right here, just in terms of the theater is in the round, and they did let the contestants know ahead of time, like, by the way, the stage is in the round. You should kind of like accommodate with some of your choreography because of that. But some of them did, you know, get to the stage, and it's disorienting because you don't have your wings, you don't have your audience, you don't have your backdrop. Mm. And especially for people that do a lot of those tricks, all the aerials and all the lifts and all the flying that you see in like a swing Latino, people were getting disoriented because remember, it's also like a big space mountain kind of set, very futuristic, lots of lights. And so that's where people like Tassandra Chavez, who was a supervising choreographer, and Kyle Hanamagi, they would work with the contestants and be like, this is what you need to do. You might need to adjust this a little bit to work with the concept of the stage.
I love their costumes. And I noticed that a lot more this episode, that the higher scoring routines did better, maybe because we were focusing more on their movement. Not so much on like, oh, look, it's all sparkly. Ooh.
Absolutely. It was so understated, but we were able to see every breath.
Focus on their lines and everything, their technique and passion and everything. Mm. And it shows you don't need to be super sparkly and glitzy.
You don't. Substance. There's something about doing a number with a lot of substance, and I think that's what we saw.
They took advantage of every movement that was choreographed. Every single movement. Yeah, we saw it.
Now, this is another one of those scores that I was like, what? 82 from Neo, which to me is significantly different when you've got J-Lo giving 90 and then Derek giving 89. I mean, they wound up with 87 because of those two other high scores, but I was like, 82 seems like really, like
very drastic.
85, 86, I would have been good.
I don't know why, too, because Derek, I believe, was the one that talked about the contractions and how they were all breathing together. So that was definitely something that worked toward them, you know, in their favor. And I noticed their musicality was just perfect. Every little beat. Mm-hmm. It's just like, wow, oh.
Well, and maybe it was the showmanship of it. You can't really get that too much. I thought that they did emote well, but maybe mm-hmm. for him, the showmanship didn't really quite land.
Creativity, possibly. Presentation.
Connection, mm-hmm. yeah.
Like, I wonder what element, you know, in the mm-hmm. scoring.
Yeah, where did
part.
He mark them down?
Yeah.
Right.
That would be really interesting to be able to, like,
to see their scores. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Each category. And be like, where mm-hmm. did you see a deficiency that needed mm-hmm. to be improved?
So they can work on it.
Yeah.
Nothing next season. That.
Yeah.
So this is where we go to the speed round, but hey, you're in.
Yeah.
I want to let everyone know, if you didn't see that on the screen, the routines are up already on YouTube, so you can go to NBC World of Dance. I checked their They're all up. They're ready to go. You can watch them. But we have Boys of Temecula, Kinte, Kyle Van Newkirk, the Chapkis Dance mm-hmm. Family, Passion, and the Posse.
The Posse.
Yeah. Wow. Posse looked cool.
The Posse looked cute. And you know, what is interesting to me is that they use the Posse a lot in the promos mm-hmm. in the months leading up to this. They used a lot of, like, the crying girls, the t-shirts mm-hmm. with the messages.
Yes.
And I was kind of surprised that then we didn't see the full dance.
Yeah, I feel like that should have been given, they should have been put in the forefront for sure with what they were trying to say in their message. So it's kind of unfair that they did, you know, the speed round, because the last mm-hmm. couple of weeks they've only seen the speed round when they're not in, you know, they don't make
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like
we have to remember though,
that.
It's all edited. So maybe there's something they're saving for us during the duels. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm going to just throw this out there. I need to find sleuth a little bit more about this, but I did hear that some of the people thought that their routines were going to be on, and they made it through briefly, like maybe through the qualifying round. They don't make it through the battles, and then they found out that their routine was not going to be fully shown. So for some of them, it was a disappointing experience because and you know, honestly, it's television, it's time, there's so many things behind the scenes,
and this was a packed episode too. I mean, when you have the Jabberwockies and
100%, but some people felt a little maybe disillusioned by the experience because of something like that, where you know you're like, wait a minute, I was using all the promos and then my thing is not, you know, shown.
You didn't show.
I'm not saying it's specifically the Posse, let's just throw that out there, but I'm saying like an example could be something like that. So I'm going to try and see if I can sleuth around, feel around a little bit more and
that
see.
That would be good.
Yeah, because if you think like, oh, I'm going to be on World of Dance, you think, I'm going to be on NBC. Mm-hmm. I get that you're on their YouTube page, which is great, but the exposure level is so different.
Well, and we can use these other artists, too, and their dancers, and see if we can figure out kind of where they're at right now.
Mm.
Let's research.
Yes, and I have not seen any of these people at like World of Dance Live or the tour. So these are things that's why
it's very telling.
It is telling, and how they're utilizing talent that they think like, hey, they make it far, or hey, we think they're really unique. They're showing up everywhere. So
yeah.
But I was like, Luca and Jenna Lynn, this is the second time I've seen you in LA in a couple months. Hey.
Right.
I'm excited.
What are you promoting?
Yeah. What are you doing, kids? But it's nice to catch up with them. So we'll see what happens. But
they got a high score too, though, 87. I mean, I felt like that was really high for the Posse. Yeah.
I got 84. Did I write it
down?
Yeah,
I got 84.
Oh, 84. I thought it was 87. Okay.
84 is still good.
They deserved an 87 is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But they made it through. That's, you know, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said before, you were saying, like, maybe they're going to throw us for a loop and there is a surprise contestant. So you think sometimes does that. You don't see someone in the audition rounds and then they're in top 10 and you're like...
Oh, absolutely. I'm always the one that's like, I don't know. They got something up their sleeve. But we'll see.
We will see what happens.
Yes.
We move into Swing Latino. They are from Colombia. I will tell you that most of the group does not speak English whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Gustavo Vargas, who is probably the best salsa choreographer in Los Angeles, and I do not know why So You Think You Can Dance does not use him, because he's great and fantastic. He worked behind the scenes with Swing Latino. Obviously, he speaks Spanish, so he was able to communicate with them and work with them on certain things, like not working on their choreography, but setting it on the stage.
Right.
Oh.
With a big group like that, too, you've got to make sure that you've got great spatial awareness. They had all those lifts and everything else.
They had so much happening. So it was just an explosion on that. And their feet were just moving a million miles an hour, which is what you want to see in salsa anyway.
This is Colombian salsa, which is very specific to the region. We talked about the rapid footwork. athletic lifts, tricks. And the other thing that's really interesting is they keep their body very rigid in Colombian salsa versus like an American salsa, which is a little bit more loose and free, like at the where this is like rigid upper body and then it's all your legs and feet moving.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then the steps follow a very circular pattern, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. So totally different than what we see here if you were to go to a salsa club.
Well, and I mean, we talked about it earlier, but I put this here. I called it salsa on steroids just because it was so woo! And with the sequins and everything, it was just so intense, which was appreciated. It was cool. The acrobatics of it was insane. The first one I think that we saw, I thought she was going to fall. When it goes like that. And at that second, I was just like,
she's launched like a cannon.
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah, but it was good because, of course, she was caught. But, yeah, it was an interesting performance.
I don't think you love it. Like, I can hear the hesitation in your voice. It's okay.
I love the energy. It might have been a little, like, too much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I couldn't see all of their footwork and I couldn't see all the tricks and acrobatics because it was like, hi, flashes.
I mean, I think you have to know a lot about that style of dance. And like Derek said, it's one of the hardest styles to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that in terms of pulling focus, it's, you know, it obviously has a targeted audience,
but
I'm in the same boat. You know, ballroom is not my favorite, but I respect the talent that it takes to do it. So I was engaged the entire performance because I just saw how hard that must have been. And I mean, again, the athleticism, I don't feel like I've ever seen ballroom that athletic. It was just amazing. And I loved that the males pulled focus. They were talking about that as well, that we do tend to look at the women and those hips, but the males tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I also was thinking like maybe the camera work was a lot because they ran to an overhead shot. They did a lot of like in the round. It might have been shot too quickly.
A little dizzying.
Yeah, maybe too many quick edits that you kind of missed some things. I liked it when they did the replay because I was like, like watching her fly through the air was really kind of cool. And maybe if they had a little bit more of a static shot or took like a pause. Sometimes we forget that they are performing for the camera, and if they're moving too quick, our eye misses something or it disrupts sort of the flow of what we're watching.
Sure.
It was definitely very explosive, which was, I mean, they were certainly not lacking in any energy at all. So.
Well, and this is another one of those things, is every single number that they come up with, if they go through the rounds, are they all explosive? Are there different levels? Do they have a slower, you know, type of dance that they can pull out and perform?
I think we'll see some variety. I do. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what
depending on what happens
duels
in the battles. Because we haven't hit the battle round. We don't know what that looks like yet. But they obviously loved what they saw. Mm-hmm. It was 90, 91, and 87.
Highest
for total
score of the night.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
89.3.
Yes. 89.3. Highest score.
That's interesting. I didn't even note that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That was not my favorite of the night, though.
Mine neither. That's why I was like, highest score. Okay. But I mean, again, maybe it just comes down to how technical it was and how well they performed it.
Category?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's certain things like performance, technique, that would choreography. That's probably three things that right away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. 89.3 on that 89. One.
I did notice, though, the judges were a little bit, as a whole, they were a little bit tougher than maybe even the first week and the second week for sure, because there were no 90s.
No 90s. And we had some 90s that first week.
Yeah, we did. They were a little more generous.
And the second week, too.
Yeah, and that's what I think, too, like when you have someone like Twins and then you have Jabberwockies, and I'm like, they're both sort of like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested to see like Jabberwockies versus like Kinjas.
Oh, I mean, the duels are going to be so strategic. I can't wait for that.
I'm so excited
that
for
one's
that.
Like, that one I just was thinking about in my head going, oh my God, what are we going to do?
I know
our
hearts are going to be ripped out because
my dance brain's going to be like, you're going to need to mop it up. I'm going to be like, what's going on? Ian Eastwood, he is one of my favorites. He has his crew, the Young Lions. He has been a force for a very long time. And for people that don't really follow dance on YouTube, he's huge. He is huge. And he's been huge from a young age. Right after high school, he moved out here and started working. But a lot of you may know him from Most Wanted Crew, season 7 of ABDC. And he was in High Strung Movie. Have you guys seen High Strung?
No.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
Oh, It's a really fun dance film. It is streams on Amazon Prime, and you can get it on Netflix. Mm. And Comfort Fadoki, who was my guest today on To the Point, she's in it. She plays a character by the name of Pop Tart. She's great, but it is that whole like the ballet dancer falls in love with someone from the hip hop crew, and
love dance movie.
It's the whole West Side Story step terrific. Up. You know, people from different side of the tracks meeting up, but it's really well done, and it's done by Michael Damian, who had soap opera fame way back in the day, and he married a dancer, and they have been doing like these dance films together that do really well, not huge budget, but just do really well. Sure. Do a quality. Short theatrical run.
Was it made
run.
For Netflix? I've never heard of it.
They did a theatrical run last summer because they did the red carpet for it, and like everyone from the dance world was kind of in it and supporting it.
Sounds great.
And they are doing High Strung 2 this summer. Dave Scott choreographed the first one, and then High Strung 2 this summer that they are filming, I think beginning in July, will be choreographed by Tyce DiOrio.
Perfect. Oh. Broadway extraordinaire
there. Good stuff. Like really good stuff. So if you guys have not seen High Strung,
I love Tyce.
Ian is in it. You guys will love it. It's fun. Oh. It's fast. It's like an hour and a half. It's great.
Well, their routine was not only chunky, it was funky. Yeah. It was so good. Yeah. Just a bunch of little baby Bruno Marses up there, I felt like. They were just rocking it. I mean, they said Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah,
it's all Bruno.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like their costumes. Understated, but very classy and fun with suspenders. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Yeah.
Now, the judges were a little underwhelmed, and I felt they focusing, like, on who Ian Eastwood is? And I understand, they're focusing in on the competition, too, but I like this because that's what Ian is about, and that's his style, and it's got, like, a coolness, and it's got, like, it's a slow jam, it's got a groove to it.
Yes.
And I will say this, he took it way better than I did. Ian took the comments from the judges openly, positively.
Understand. Well, he's so vulnerable because they said that they'd never... Yeah. really been in a competition like that, and look at they're on the biggest stage, so they have to bring what the judges are asking them to bring. But I actually loved the routine the most this evening because we haven't seen that yet, and they have so much to show us. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like there's no ceiling for them. So
they're for sure the underdogs, and they knew that going into it, but. I don't know. I don't know too much about Ian, and this is a great first impression because there's so much that you can see. It's like,
Well, his strength is choreography, right? As we know.
Yeah.
So the performer side of it's a little... I think that's kind of where the underwhelming came from, is maybe they just felt like it was lacking
more polish or whatever. I'm such a fangirl of Ian, so I was like, no, don't change him. But I guess for World of Dance, you do need to up the game.
Adapt to the stage.
He was at World of Dance Live. He was later in the night. I'm just letting you know.
People went crazy.
Crazy. Ian and Fiction were the... And Ditto, of course. And Ditto is not in the competition, but she is a... World of Dance Tour homegrown baby. So those three are like superstars in this arena.
But it's interesting because we don't get the audience voting. So again, it comes back to they could be huge audience fan favorites, but
may
come up short.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm thinking Ian takes the notes, takes the corrections, and brings the group back.
Absolutely.
They're going to be fine in battle. Like that, I don't worry about what Ian's going to do in a dance battle.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm really excited for them just because... There's that kind of, I don't know, the energy, but the excitement and eagerness to learn and do better, you know?
Could you give me, though, like, Ian versus Fiction in a dance battle?
Oof. Let's do it.
I'm there for that. So their score, Neo, 81. That was on the precipice. 86 and 84, so 83.7 in total.
I see them going up against Keone and Mari almost, and that would make me sad because I love them. But I could see them. Do you think? Who do you think will be their pairing?
Gosh.
From who we've seen.
I know. That's a good question.
But then just kind of, I don't know, the funk and...
And my question is, how did you pair people? Is it like pick a name out of a hat and it's luck of the draw?
That would be fun. That would be
also fair.
Yes.
Because if I'm a producer and I'm setting up these dance battles, I'm like, okay, so I'm going to... You probably don't put Ian versus Fiction right away in like week four because you want them to stay around. Mm-hmm. So you're like, who are we okay with letting go? See, that's why I hope they do pick out of a hat because I don't like producer manipulation.
And that could easily be swayed. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out next week.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed on that one. And that's where we get to speed round. You're out. Vibration, 801 Squad, and Trent Jure. So I mean, really quick goodbyes, hellos and goodbyes.
So close. 79.3s. There were a couple of those.
Yeah, they did have two 79.3s.
That's heartbreaking.
But they did say, you know, please come back next year.
Yeah, and they're showing the they're showing us that because they will be back next year more than likely, and then we're going to see the flashback and the montage of them not making it. It's, it all comes full circle, you know. They want to introduce these acts to the audience.
But I sit there and think, like, season two is going to be even harder. You know, people are setting the stage. Season two, people have their game face on because they're like, oh, I know what to expect, or I know what to do.
Of course. And, I mean, having been through it gives them that experience above other people who haven't. Yeah. So that's going to be huge for them.
And you know what was also interesting? On Sunday, I was asking everyone that I talked with, I'm like, how did you get on the show? How did you get on the show? Because we have heard multiple ways people have gotten on the show. And a lot of people were directly invited, no audition. So, yes. Oh. Yes. So the Fictions, the Les Twins, of course, they're invited to the show. There were also auditions. So people submitted.
Yeah, there was online submissions, weren't there?
They submitted a video audition. And then from that video audition, if they liked you, you were asked to come to, I think there was Chicago and Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. You were invited to come to those and then audition. And then you kind of filled out like a deal memo or a contract. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you might be on the show, you might not. And then, so I know for, I'm gonna get their name, you guys.
Just call them the
Mahazovich.
Just call them the M sisters.
Mahazovich sisters. I'm gonna get this, you guys. they went home for like 3 weeks after the Chicago auditions, and they just waited and waited, and they finally got the call saying you are in. But they were a video submission. A majority of the people though that I talked to, from Diana, Nick. Fiction, it was a straight invitation, and
sure
they were on the lookout for them, because I was like, did they know you, were they aware of you? They must have had producers that, besides, you know, scouring social media, they were going to certain dance competitions.
Of course. Which is amazing, because think about people. I mean, just side note for American Idol, look at Carrie Underwood. She was plucked, she went to an audition for, and she lived in a tiny little Oklahoma City town, and look at her. So I mean, there's talent in little places we don't know about. So I love that they vetted people, because it can't, I know it's the biggest stage, but it can't just be all name people. You just never know. Like, the sisters, they are so good, and they could go far. Yet we don't, we've never seen them in anything, really.
Right, and I would love to know the percentage of people that were invited versus people that auditioned that made it onto the show. That is my one thing that I'd be curious. I'm sure NBC, if I call NBC, they're not going to be like, here we go, here's the numbers. Not going to happen, but.
Well, with some research, we might be able to find that out.
Yeah, I know NBC, they'll probably like, we're not going to tell you. But in my own little informal survey backstage, because I was like, I'm asking this question of everyone I can.
It's good stuff.
Invited or did you audition?
Mm-hmm. It's inspirational, though, you know, for everyone watching, for dancers watching. It's like, I can do this. So, you know, I love that.
There's an opportunity. Yeah, and I think that's everyone. What people need to see, that don't think that they're just inviting Les Twins, like, understand that people did come in through a video submission. So
right, and that hard work for these people are being paid off.
I know, so good. Biggest stage too, world's biggest stage. We finally get to DNA. Dennis and Antonina, and I love these two. I love the pair. You guys, these are super talented. We're talking two-time U.S. national amateur Latin champs. They're the first ever amateur rising stars in Latin at Blackpool for the U.S., and that's a big deal. When you win at Blackpool, huge. They were at Blackpool this year. They didn't have as successful. They did really well on the dance floor. The judges, which is very subjective, we know, at Blackpool, they came in eighth. But I know there was a lot of controversy around them coming in eighth, because I heard they were amazing. But for those of you that watch So You Think You Can Dance Canada, Dennis was the winner in 2010. And you might recognize him from season 12 on the U.S. version, because he made it all the way to Green Mile. Mm. Just some random things. So you've seen him before.
And Dennis was actually trained at Juilliard. I found that out, and I was like, whoa.
He's a great dancer.
He's got the stacked credentials for days, that's for sure.
And their love story is the cutest thing ever.
For us ladies who love a good love story.
And they are the loveliest couple. My friend has worked with them in a ballroom show, and she produces it. And she's like, they are amazing.
Well, and chemistry is everything in ballroom, and they have that. So, I mean, that's by itself is going to help them fly.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. she looks at him just like, oh, so lovingly. And but he's there to support her. Oh, I can't. They were definitely one of my favorite performances of
on top of being technicians of their craft, somebody who's watching them in the story and in the moment, you're seeing their connection, and it was so lovely.
Well, and they're doing a waltz, and if you do a traditional waltz at a ballroom competition, it's not as flashy as what we just saw in World of Dance. Right. They did take a lot of risks. One of them didn't pay off in that moment, but J-Lo was like, thank you for doing that, because it sounded like, if I was listening correctly, J-Lo is not a huge fan of ballroom. The way she sounded, she's like, now if all ballroom was like that, I'd be good.
Well, and I mean, they made a comment about the baubles, and you know, I think that their lifts could have been a little bit more fluid. But I mean, I know you guys love them, but I just felt like it definitely could be polished. Mm-hmm. So, and that gives them room moving forward.
So I have a little tiny theory. That little mishap with her leg, I noticed that from the beginning, her costume was a little too flowy at the bottom.
Yes.
And it looks nice when she's turning and doing all that, but when he's grabbing her and lifting her and throwing her, I'm like, oh, you're going to catch the wrong thing. And that moment when that happened, I was like...
It was wrapped around her leg, wasn't it?
It was that. And I was just thinking, like, darn it, if she hadn't been wearing that, maybe that would have been something. But
it's more of a wardrobe malfunction than anything.
Definitely. Which is the worst kind of malfunction.
I don't know. Besides that, I think it was flawless, but I love that they brought in different kinds of ballroom dancing, you know, not just the waltz, but it was edgy and...
I liked it.
It was a little gritty. I liked it. Yeah. I liked it too.
I love them.
And they have been on World of Dance tour this spring, so that's where I initially met them, and I was like, you guys are cute
Stellar.
As a button. And Antonina has the sweetest little voice. I just love her. She's so pretty.
Well, her dreams brought her man, so maybe her dreams will bring...
I don't know.
Championship.
This was another interesting one. This is when Neo was like, 82. Mm-hmm. 82, kids. and then 88 and 88 from J-Lo and Derek. And I do love that Derek has been very supportive of ballroom, because he does understand the technique and how hard the routine was. He knows it's not easy. And Neo, go and lift at the gym. Come on, man.
Oh, my gosh. That bothered me.
I know. But I mean, in a weird way, I don't know, maybe I have to watch it back, but I felt like there were pieces that felt a little clunky, so maybe he's just saying that I don't know.
I felt it was more like, like the powerfulness of it.
But there were just a few bobbles, and I think that maybe that's what Neo was pulling from.
I think it was adrenaline with them. You know, when you get out there and you're like, I've been nailing this all week, and then you're a little nervous.
Sure.
And you're like, I'm going to just go full out, but it's just like a little extra reach each time, or it's so that's that little bobble. Mm-hmm. It's that little like, oh, I've got her.
Well, just moving a millisecond almost too fast for their... their brain, absolutely. Yeah, but or their partner.
The audience loved them because they started chanting DNA, DNA.
Again, and the cutest name ever. Come on. Like, that's a great brand for like ballroom. Mm-hmm. We're DNA. Dennis done. And Antonina. Yeah, done. Done. Yeah. 86 was their total. I don't know if I said the average, but. And then again, we end the evening with Eva Igo, and we end with another junior, another contemporary. Like, this is the way they've decided to end the show.
I know contemporary is bringing it this season.
In the junior category.
Wow.
You notice that?
Yes.
We haven't really been seeing like a contemporary adult dancer, and I wonder if they're thinking in their heads, that's so you think you can dance.
Possibly. Oh, absolutely. I could see that.
True. Well, and she, I looked at Eva's, I found her on YouTube, and I was looking at all her stuff, and she is a seasoned veteran. Like, she may be only 14 years old, but you can find her everywhere on YouTube, and she's been performing everywhere. So I already knew, like, coming in, you know, to tonight's show, like, she's going to bring it. Mm-hmm. And she so did.
Do you know what her claim to fame is? She beat Maddie Ziegler in an episode of Dance Mom.
Oh,
season 3, episode 11, so kids. And you know, people are always like, Maddie's a beautiful dancer.
Mm. Yeah.
Obviously, Eva's a beautiful dancer. And, like, you know, not everyone wins every single week. But, you know, the drama that they played up on, like, Dance Moms. Like,
she was at the top.
Well, and it's another example of her not being swayed by the moment she was in it. It looked effortless. She didn't look nervous. And, I mean, I really think what you just said is... very important point that, yeah, maybe they're, you know, because So You Think You Can Dance has older contestants, and so many of those contestants are contemporary dancers, that maybe they're trying to leave that pool a little untouched.
She did say that she wanted to go in there and give the audience something, or you make the audience feel something that they've never felt before. Mm. I was like, gosh, you're so mature. When she danced, there's this maturity about her. And obviously the technique, but mm-hmm. it's just insane. It puts her in a whole nother level. She was also like one of my favorites of the
night.
And her
emotions were like a switch. You know, one moment you could see her reaction and her smiles, and it was just like power. And
there was a little bit of what I call competition facials, mm-hmm. a little bit of like that turn on, turn off, turn on, turn off, which she'll break as a habit as she gets older and matures.
I thought that was just to the movement.
They're called facials. If you haven't done competition yet.
Well, no, of course. Of course. But I actually felt like it flowed with the music. I don't know.
It wasn't as bad as some of them. Sometimes you see the kids in the competition circuit.
Sure.
They do their turns and they go.
Absolutely.
It happens in cheerleading too, in competitive cheerleading. Yeah.
Sure. No, absolutely. Yeah. I just felt like it made sense with the flow of the routine. But
yeah. I'm surprised no one called her out on it because I was like, it's bordering on, like, I don't think it was as bad as mm-hmm. we've seen in other kids, but I was like, it's almost bordering on facials.
Mm-hmm. Now that you mention it, like, I'm thinking about it, yeah.
I'd have to go back and watch it a second time. Mm-hmm. I still loved it, don't get me wrong, because I wish I could turn four times and then stop on a dime with my leg at 180. I can't. I mean, you could see that she is so muscle-bound.
Like, tons of athleticism in this routine.
Yeah.
Tons.
I mean, if the one little thing that I'm complaining about is like one little facial, give me a break.
Right. And Derek's response was mine, where he's like, what just happened? That was absolutely my response when I was done watching her dance.
Please.
So dynamic.
I enjoyed when she's talking to the camera, you know, like the little pre-interview that they show before she performs. You see footage of her dancing when she's like 3. Mm. And she has such beautiful technique. Even at that age, at that time, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, let's do this, girl. Just knock it out of the park.
Some of those kids just have a gift. So you mm-hmm. just have that like body, you have that athleticism, that natural talent. You know, I was someone that when I took dance class, I had to work really hard at it. I just don't mm-hmm. have that je ne sais quoi of like you just like get up there and you're like legs.
Well, her story was that my sister danced and it looked fun. I'm like, what? You are amazing. Yeah. You were born to dance.
And then they have to pull in like the drama of like my dad's not living with us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because I didn't, you know, the interesting thing was I didn't feel like that was part of her story at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we even needed that. It's mm-hmm. very personal, obviously, but. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like it was a part of the dance. I didn't feel like she wore, mm-hmm. you know, that's a heavy thing to wear as a mm-hmm. kid. But
well, she didn't even bring it up either when the judges asked her.
No.
So
she said that when Neo asked, you know, why do you love to dance? And then she said, well, because it lets me express myself mm-hmm. and, you know, all of that. And I love that. I also do want to talk about her costume. Very simple, mm-hmm. understated, mm-hmm. nude, beigey colors like the Hasevich sisters, same way.
We're gonna get this. I'm gonna practice all week.
So yeah, I loved her performance. You know, there was no wardrobe malfunctions, nothing mm-hmm. she could trip over, nothing. So
age appropriate too. I think mm-hmm. sometimes, and this happens in the competition circuit. Somebody even younger than 14, you start seeing like the little bikini tops, like mm-hmm. not even because this was a little bit further down, and she had like kind of the shorts that were covering. Mm-hmm. They weren't booty ish, mm-hmm. like her butt wasn't hanging out. But
no, everything was covered.
I mean, to me, it was very talking about competition. It was very competition. The bun, she was very polished
right here, but not too much glitter.
Yeah, just the right amount. She just has great lines, great form, mm. great muscles, like mm. exactly what you want to look like as a dancer, like long, lean.
So how is she going to stack up against Diana?
Oh gosh, that's hard.
Really,
that
hard.
Is really hard.
That's a tough one, you know. And you forget too, Diana's 12. Mm-hmm. Like she's even younger than Eva. Yeah, it's interesting. So is Eva bringing like a little bit more maturity because she's mm-hmm. got a couple extra years? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you have them battle each other, or do you have like Nick?
I feel like that's too.
I need to go back and look at that preview because they had Nick battling someone, and I can't remember
who it
was.
It's too predictable.
Was it a hip hop dancer? Like, are they having contemporary mm-hmm. like battle?
I don't know. I feel like that'd be too predictable, but what do I know?
The way they tease the duels, I think, has all of us super pumped because mm-hmm. we just don't know what to expect. Obviously, we've never seen anything like this before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's just like...
And they've been doing the duels in Snapchat because they do the show every mm-hmm. Monday on Snapchat. But they're just kind of like loose and freeform. Yeah. And this looks like it's a little bit more formal. So we'll see how that plays out. I just want to read Eva's score too. 85, 89 from J-Lo, 90 from Derek for a total of 88.
That's pretty high from Neo.
No, 85 is really good for him. I mean, that's she a was, good. Mm-hmm. But he gave a flawless. 90 to Swing Latino. See? He's unpredictable he when it comes so to scores.
Hmm. What are we going to see from Neo?
I really want to see how they score. I wish there was a way we could
get that info.
Well, I'm sure we're going to see some changes, you know, come duel time. Because I saw on Jenna Dewan Tatum's Insta story, yes, that she said that her role is going to change a little bit.
Good. More
so
Jenna.
So I'm excited to see what that's going to be like. I don't know. And maybe they are listening to, maybe not us, but just general audiences' feedback to see, okay, maybe let's tweak this. And of course, like, they have filmed some of this in advance, so we'll just kind of have to see mm-hmm.
how
they
far. Use her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it has been one of those things, because I think we've all gotten lots of comments like, where's Jenna? Where's Jenna? You know, she's backstage. And sure. they're like, why isn't she out there introducing, you know, the acts and things like that? So I hope we do see maybe a little bit more something formal else. Hosting from her, because she's charming, she's mm-hmm. lovely.
Or maybe we start seeing her mentoring in the studio. Maybe we'll see mm-hmm. a little bit more interaction with the dancers, and she might be mm-hmm. there to kind of hands, you know, kind of more hands-on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'd be interesting yeah. to see what she does.
Well, and she gets this point of view, you know, what we've seen in these last few weeks, where she's there with the contestants before they go on. You know, the most nerve-wracking part mm-hmm. of everything. She's there, and then when they come back, you did it.
Yeah, she might be a little bit of a mama hen, kind of nurturing mm-hmm. the contestants.
But there's something else coming. I mean, she said, so I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, what that is, and hopefully the role is expanded. And I think one thing that I wrote last week on one of my Dance Network articles, I was like, you know, I think that because it's only a 1 hour show and everything's so mm-hmm. fast, they can be giving us actually more online content. I'm someone that will go and seek it out. I will look at YouTube. And even to have Jenna, like, sit down with some of the contestants, even just a little one-on-one, mm-hmm. or, you know, just to hear a little bit more about their story. I'm actually kind of craving that a little bit, mm-hmm. especially as we move into the battles. I'm like, okay.
Maybe we'll get that, though. Maybe it's just because it's the qualifiers and there's just such a big pool to kind of mm-hmm. pull from. But I bet when it gets closer and closer, it's going to become more intimate.
But I think that they could have done it from the qualifiers. I think they could have.
Sure.
I'm seeing the audience numbers are there for online because, we're seeing, like, they're putting mm-hmm. those dances up really quickly. Like, once the East Coast is aired, it's already up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's there.
Well, and the more that, and I feel now that the audience, ourselves, the fans, don't get to vote, the more that they're, you know, integrating us with that content, mm-hmm. I feel like it just can only get better and better. We want to know.
They did post on Pandora, they have an NBC's World of Dance mix, which I found pretty interesting. It's pretty catchy. It's nice. Very dancey.
Is it like, is it any the songs from the show, or is it
just
separate?
Inspired by. And then they also have a World of Dance virtual reality.
Ooh.
I've seen that. Which now, is if great. You're a gamer, you have access to that.
I tried it on my phone. It's not the same thing because I was holding it and I was like, well, I can imagine.
Right,
but of
right.
course,
yeah,
it's
that's
not
interesting.
The same thing. But they're trying, they're rocking it.
Yeah, and that was the one thing I was like, that's really cool content. And it's exclusive, but it's also very, it's not inclusive because not all of us have VR yet. It's so ahead of its time.
Yeah, right. I definitely
unless
don't
you have
VR.
A gaming system that has yeah. VR.
No, but I mean, the Pandora stage is bomb because you can, dancers in the studio could just turn it on and kind of rock their world.
Do your 180s and four turns on a dime, like Eva.
Or flips and turns. She was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really impressive.
I'm going to start bringing a thesaurus so that I can start coming up with
more
better adjectives.
To describe this talent is insane.
I know, it is one of those things that the level of talent is so great. You're like, besides saying amazing, great, yeah, what do you say? And this is where it's going to start getting a little nitpicky, I think, with the judges, because they're now like, you're past qualifying, you're in round two.
Very
much. When you get to that final round, because you have to win your division, and then each division battles each other for that $1 million prize.
See, how's that going to work with the judging and the scoring?
Well, the scoring's going to be the same
method. But is it
method,
80?
But.
Or is it going to be 85, 90?
Yeah, what's the cutoff point? Yeah. We have a lot of unanswered questions.
We do.
That's really hard with Neo.
1 week we will.
If he's not giving.
Find some of these out.
And I also want to know, and this was one thing that I asked last week when I was on Sunday when I was at World of Dance Live. I asked some of them because I had heard from Luca and Jenna Lynn. They flew in their choreographer, you know, to sort of up their game with their routines. I asked some of the other contestants, like, did you come prepared with like two or three routines? Mm-hmm. Some of them did.
Oh, wow.
Some of them did change some of their choreography once they saw the level of talent, realizing they had to add more tricks, more technique, whatever they needed. other people, like Fiction, was like, I have to stay authentic. I have to stay true to who I am. And if I start like looking here and there, what this person's doing, I'm losing myself.
Yeah, there's, I mean, there's that method of staying in your lane. They use that Michael Phelps analogy where, like, if, you know, with that athlete that was looking, or the swimmer that was looking over at him, they lost because they were too busy looking at the next lane. And I think that is such an important point of view that Fiction has, because
it is. It's a very mature one.
Stay in your lane.
Very mature one. So it was interesting to hear everyone sort of had a different perspective on it. And I'm interested to see. I have everyone's audio recorded, so I need to see who said what and see how it plays out for them. Like, does it work where you, you know, stack the choreography a little bit more? Or does it work if you just stay true to who you are and not don't worry about what's happening left and right?
That's two completely different methods of
100%.
Competing.
And when you have Michael Phelps, he's trying to beat the clock. We have people that you have subjective with the judges. So,
yeah, I feel like if you're looking at the competition around you, you're always going to be swayed by that. You know, I feel like all of these dancers have perfection in them. You know what I mean? It's just harnessing that and not being too distracted with the other talent. They just need to focus on what's best for them. So if they did that just to kind of up their game to be like, oh, we can do better, that's a big thing. I just think it's a kind of a danger zone if you're looking at other dancers and you're like, oh, wait, they're doing that. Well, we have to do that, you know.
Right.
So like you said, it's just maturity.
Does that happen with the crews? I mean, some of the crews, you could be like, oh, wow.
Sure. Holy, and it can be a driving force. I mean, they could absolutely see something and say, oh, We got to up our game, you know, and then it just becomes exciting. But it's just, I think it's a head game.
Well, and especially with them, you know, before they go out onto the stage, they see it, you know. So it's kind of like, okay, do you pay attention to everything you're seeing in that huge, you know, screen behind, or do you just keep practicing your own thing?
Are you the one with the headphones on in the corner, like staying focused? Like, I always, you look at Olympics and you look at gymnasts, and sometimes, you know, their main competitors out on the floor, and they're like busying themselves in their gym bag or taping. They're just like, I can't even pay attention.
And everybody has different methods. I mean, think about these dancers looking at all this talent. I mean, how cool that also must be. Even though you're the Jabberwockies, you're seeing other talent that is affecting you and changing you. And, you know, I just think that's so incredible. I'd be the kind of person that's like looking down, focused on what I'm doing. But some people learn differently, and some people get, you know, their adrenaline in different ways. And ooh,
I'm
cool.
So excited.
It's good stuff.
It is amazing. Yeah, and I'm happy, though, that World of Dance is making a big impact in the dance community.
Me too.
It's making an impact, and I thought this is interesting. So You Think is starting live shows later because of World of Dance. So, we usually start in July for the live shows.
Oh, yes.
August 7th is the live show, the first It's smart, and, you know, it's the week that World of Dance will be ending. There's no sort of competition, even though they're on different nights, but you don't want to saturate your audience, and I think it was a very smart... NBC made a very smart decision by delaying the World of Dance premiere and then partnering it with the launch of America's Got Talent. And then Fox had their own strategy, and they're like, we're just going to do one-hour shows of Audition and Academy Week and Green Mile, and then we're going to kick off with live shows. So I'm hoping the strategy pays off, because I want both shows to succeed.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
But hopefully dance fans will just stay all summer.
And they will.
It's
going to
be an exciting
season,
for sure. Like, season, summer.
It's a summer of dance, what I keep saying. I'm like, I'm in my happy bubble. That's what I always
say. No, I'm so glad they staggered it, because I feel like that would just be overload for dance fans. You're just, like, so much dance, so much to process, whereas they can focus on World of Dance and then get right into it.
And then we will be back to two-hour shows once they are into the live shows. So the superhuman show that airs after So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to keep it straight. I'm starting So You Think tomorrow. So I'm going to have to figure out how to organize my
Everyone, you need to tell everyone who one of your co-hosts is. Season 12, people.
Oh, my
gosh. Pay attention.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. You're the
Well, you know what?
Guru.
All season long in season 12, no one knew how to...
I don't want to butcher it.
Yeah. No one knew how to say his name. It was like, dancer Asafoff was the joke.
Right.
Yeah, so it is, but we heard it as Asaf, Asaf.
I would have said Asaf.
Yeah,
I'll ask
or
him.
Asaf, Gorin, B-Boy. You guys remember him. Co-host, So You Think You Can Dance here on AfterBuzz.
Yes.
But he will not be here for the first 2 weeks, right?
Right. That's what I was told. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll surprise us, but Yes, so I'm going to be all things dance for the next 20 weeks
or more. I can't wait. I'm going to be watching The Week He Comes Back. That's so interesting. I mean, you need to go back and watch some season 12 YouTube.
Yes. Yes.
And then ask him about it. Like, absolutely. Just ask him what his experience was like.
I mean, I definitely recognize him. I just, I didn't put the two together.
He's a great B-boy. He's great. Oh. He's a great dancer.
We'll have him dance right there.
Yeah. Just have him, like, do some spins on the floor and aerials and,
good stuff.
All good. Well, you guys, this was a really good episode. We missed TK. I feel like I should pull up her little photo and then like, TK.
And you can find her at TK Trinidad on everything.
Oh, Trinidad. There's TK looking super cute on the red carpet. She was working for Black Hollywood Live tonight, so she was in the AfterBuzz family, but she'll be back with us next week. I'm Kristen Burt. You can find me at Kristen Burt on, I don't know, Twitter, and The Kristen Burt on Instagram. How about you guys?
I'm Amy Cassandra. You can find me at @AmyCassandra_TV on Twitter and Instagram. I'm also going to be starting American Ninja Warrior panel tomorrow.
Hot dog.
And then Daytime Divas on Thursday.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. We are a busy, busy panel. Busy crew. I am Becky Sotero. You can find me at Becky Sotero on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for stopping by, guys.
All right, you guys, we will see you all next week for week 4 of World of Dance.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.